Paradise Lost, Book 2, First Part, The Argument. The consultation begun, Satan debates whether another battle be to be hazarded for the recovery of heaven. Some advise it, others dissuade. A third proposal is preferred, mentioned before by Satan, to search the truth of that prophecy or tradition in heaven concerning another world and another kind of creature equal or not much inferior to themselves about this time to be created. Their doubt, who shall be sent on this difficult search? Satan, their chief, undertakes alone the voyage, is honored and applauded. The council thus ended, the rest betake them several ways and to several employments, as their inclinations lead them, to entertain the time till Satan return.
High on a throne of royal state, which far outshone the wealth of Ormus and of Ind, or where the gorgeous East with richest hand showers on her kings barbaric pearl and gold, Satan, exalted, sat, by merit raised to that bad eminence, and from despair, thus high, uplifted beyond hope, aspires beyond thus high, insatiate to pursue vain war with heaven, and by success untaught, his proud imaginations thus displayed.
Powers and dominions, deities of heaven, for since no deep within her gulf can hold immortal vigor, though oppressed and fallen, I give not heaven for lost. From this descent, celestial virtues rising will appear more glorious and more dread than from no fall, and trust themselves to fear no second fate. Me, though just, right, and the fixed laws of heaven did first create your leader, next, free choice, with what besides in council or in fight hath been achieved of merit, yet this loss thus far at least recovered hath much more established in a safe, unenvied throne, yielded with full consent. The happier state in heaven which follows dignity might draw envy from each inferior. But who here will envy whom the highest place exposes foremost to stand against the Thunderer's aim, your bulwark, and condemns to greatest share of endless pain? Where there is then no good for which to strive, no strife can grow up there from faction. For none sure will claim in hell precedence, none whose portion is so small of present pain that with ambitious mind will covet more. With this advantage then to union and firm faith and firm accord, more than can be in heaven, we now return to claim our just inheritance of old, surer to prosper than prosperity could have assured us. And by what best way, whether of open war or covert guile, we now debate. Who can advise may speak.
He ceased, and next him, Moloch, sceptered king, stood up. The strongest and the fiercest spirit that fought in heaven, now fiercer by despair. His trust was with the eternal to be deemed equal in strength, and rather than be less, cared not to be at all. With that care lost went all his fear of God or hell, or worse, he recked not. And these words thereafter spake.
My sentence is for open war. Of wiles, more unexpert, I boast not. Them let those contrive who need, or when they need, not now. For while they sit contriving, shall the rest, millions that stand in arms and longing wait the signal to ascend, sit lingering here, heaven's fugitives, and for their dwelling place accept this dark, opprobrious den of shame? The prison of his tyranny who reigns by our delay? No, let us rather choose, armed with hell flames and fury all at once, o'er heaven's high towers to force resistless way, turning our tortures into horrid arms against the torturer. Perhaps the way seems difficult and steep, to scale with upright wing against a higher foe. Let such bethink them, if the sleepy drench of that forgetful lake benumb not still, that in our proper motion we ascend up to our native seats. Descent and fall to us is adverse. Who but felt of late, when the fierce foe hung on our broken rear insulting, and pursued us through the deep, with what compulsion and laborious flight we sunk thus low? The ascent is easy then. The event is feared. Should we again provoke our stronger, some worse way his wrath may find to our destruction. If there be in hell fear to be worse destroyed, more destroyed than thus, we should be quite abolished and expire. What fear we then? What doubt we to incense his utmost ire, which to the height enraged will either quite consume us and reduce to nothing this essential? Happier far than miserable to have eternal being. Or if our substance be indeed divine and cannot cease to be, we are at worst on this side nothing. And by proof, we feel our power sufficient to disturb his heaven, and with perpetual inroads to alarm, though inaccessible, his fatal throne, which, if not victory, is yet revenge.
He ended frowning, and his look denounced desperate revenge and battle dangers to less than gods. On the other side, up rose Belial, in act more graceful and humane, a fairer person lost not heaven. He seemed for dignity composed and high exploit. But all was false and hollow. Though his tongue dropped manna and could make the worse appear the better reason to perplex and dash maturest counsels. For his thoughts were low, to vice industrious, but to nobler deeds timorous and slothful. Yet he pleased the ear, and with persuasive accent thus began.
I should be much for open war, O peers, as not behind in hate, if what was urged main reason to persuade immediate war did not dissuade me most, and seem to cast ominous conjecture on the whole success. When he, who most excels in fact of arms, in what he counsels, and in what excels mistrustful, grounds his courage on despair and utter disillusion at the scope of all his aim, after some dire revenge. First, what revenge? The towers of heaven are filled with armed watch that render all access impregnable. Oft on the bordering deep encamp their legions, or with obscure wing scout far and wide into the realm of night, scorning surprise. Or could we break our way by force, and at our heels all hell should rise with blackest insurrection to confound heaven's purest light, yet our great enemy, all incorruptible, would on his throne sit unpolluted. Thus repulsed, our final hope is flat despair. We must exasperate the almighty victor to spend all his rage, and that must end us. That must be our cure, to be no more. Sad cure. For who would lose, though full of pain, this intellectual being, those thoughts that wander through eternity, to perish, rather, swallowed up and lost in the wide womb of uncreated night, devoid of sense and motion? And who knows? Let this be good, whether our angry foe can give it, or will ever. How he can is doubtful. That he never will is sure. Say they who counsel war, we are decreed, reserved, and destined to eternal woe. Whatever doing, what can we suffer more? What can we suffer worse? Is this then worst? Thus sitting, thus consulting, thus in arms? What when we fled amain, pursued and struck with heaven's afflicting thunder, and besought the deep to shelter us? This hell then seemed a refuge from those wounds. Or when we lay chained on the burning lake, that sure was worse. What if the breath that kindled those grim fires, awaked, should blow them into sevenfold rage and plunge us in the flames? Or from above should intermitted vengeance arm again his red right hand to plague us? While we, perhaps, designing or exhorting glorious war, caught in a fiery tempest, shall be hurled each on his rock transfixed, the sport and prey of racking whirlwinds, or forever sunk under yon boiling ocean, wrapped in chains, there to converse with everlasting groans, unrespited, unpitied, unreprieved, ages of hopeless end. This would be worse. War, therefore, open or concealed, alike my voice dissuades. For what can force or guile with him? Or who deceive his mind, whose eye views all things at one view? Shall we then live thus vile, the race of heaven, thus trampled, thus expelled, to suffer here chains and these torments? Better these than worse, by my advice, since fate inevitable subdues us, an omnipotent decree, the victor's will. To suffer as to do, our strength is equal, nor the law unjust that so ordains. This was at first resolved, if we were wise, against so great a foe contending. This is now our doom, which, if we can sustain and bear, our supreme foe in time may much remit his anger, and perhaps thus far removed, not mind us not offending, satisfied with what is punished, whence these raging fires will slacken, if his breath stir not their flames. Our purer essence then will overcome their noxious vapor, or inured not feel, or changed at length and to the place conformed in temper and in nature, will receive familiar the fierce heat and void of pain. This horror will grow mild, this darkness light. Besides, what hope the never-ending flight of future days may bring?
Thus Balliol, with words clothed in reason's garb, counseled ignoble ease and peaceful sloth, not peace. And after him thus Mammon spake.
Either to disenthrone the King of Heaven we war, if war be best, or to regain our own right lost. Him to unthrone we then may hope when everlasting fate shall yield to fickle chance and chaos judge the strife. The former, vain to hope, argues as vain the latter. For what place can be for us within heaven's bound unless heaven's Lord Supreme we overpower? Suppose he should relent and publish grace to all on promise made of new subjection. With what eyes could we stand in his presence, humble, and receive strict laws imposed to celebrate his throne? This must be our task in heaven, this our delight. How wearisome eternity so spent in worship paid to whom we hate! Let us not then pursue by force impossible, by leave obtained unacceptable, though in heaven, our state of splendid vassalage, but rather seek our own good from ourselves, and from our own live to ourselves, though in this vast recess, free, and to none accountable, preferring hard liberty before the easy yoke of servile pomp. Our greatness will appear then most conspicuous when great things of small, useful of hurtful, prosperous of adverse we can create, and in what place soe'er thrive under evil, and work ease out of pain through labor and endurance. This deep world of darkness, do we dread?
How oft, amidst thick clouds and dark, doth heaven's all-ruling sire choose to reside, his glory unobscured, and with the majesty of darkness round covers his throne, from whence deep thunders roar, mustering their rage, and heaven resembles hell. As he our darkness, cannot we his light imitate when we please? This desert soil wants not her hidden luster, gems or gold, nor want we skill or art from whence to raise magnificence. And what can heaven show more? Our torments also may in length of time become our elements. These piercing fires, as soft as now severe, our temper changed into their temper, which must needs remove the sensible of pain. All things invite to peaceful counsels and the settled state of order, how in safety best we may compose our present evils with regard of what we are and where, dismissing quite all thoughts of war. Ye have what I advise.
He scarce had finished when such a murmur filled the assembly as when hollow rocks retain the sound of blustering winds, which all night long had roused the sea, now with hoarse cadence lull seafaring men o'erwatched, whose bark by chance or pinnace anchors in a craggy bay after the tempest. Such applause was heard as Mammon ended, and his sentence pleased, advising peace. For such another field they dreaded worse than hell. So much the fear of thunder and the sword of Mikael wrought still within them, and no less desire to found this nether empire, which might rise by policy and long process of time in emulation opposite to heaven, which, when Beelzebub perceived, than whom Satan except none higher sat, with grave aspect he rose, and in his rising seemed a pillar of state. Deep on his front engraven, deliberation sat and public care. And princely counsel in his face yet shone, majestic, though in ruin. Sage he stood with Atlantean shoulders fit to bear the weight of mightiest monarchies. His look drew audience and attention, still as night or summer's noontide air, while thus he spake.
Thrones and imperial powers, offspring of heaven, ethereal virtues, or these titles now must we renounce, and changing style be called princes of hell? For so the popular vote inclines. Here to continue, and build up here a growing empire. Doubtless, while we dream, and know not that the King of Heaven hath doomed this place our dungeon, not our safe retreat beyond his potent arm, to live exempt from heaven's high jurisdiction, in new league banded against his throne, but to remain in strictest bondage, though thus far removed, under the inevitable curb, reserved his captive multitude. For he, be sure, in height or depth, still first and last will reign sole king, and of his kingdom lose no part by our revolt, but over hell extend his empire, and with iron scepter rule us here, as with his golden those in heaven. What sit we then projecting peace and war? War hath determined us, and foiled with loss irreparable. Terms of peace yet none vouchsafed or sought. For what peace will be given to us enslaved, but custody severe, and stripes, and arbitrary punishment inflicted? And what peace can we return, but to our power hostility and hate, untamed reluctance, and revenge though slow, yet ever plotting how the conqueror least may reap his conquest, and may least rejoice in doing what we most in suffering feel? Nor will occasion want, nor shall we need with dangerous expedition to invade heaven, whose high walls fear no assault or siege or ambush from the deep. What if we find some easier enterprise? There is a place, if ancient and prophetic fame in heaven err not, another world, the happy seat of some new race called man, about this time to be created like to us, though less in power and excellence, but favored more of him who rules above. So was his will pronounced among the gods, and by an oath that shook heaven's whole circumference confirmed. Thither let us bend all our thoughts, to learn what creatures there inhabit, of what mold or substance, how endued, and what their power, and where their weakness, how attempted best, by force or subtlety. Though heaven be shut, and heaven's high arbitrator sit secure in his own strength, this place may lie exposed the utmost border of his kingdom, left to their defense who hold it. Here, perhaps, some advantageous act may be achieved by sudden onset, either with hellfire to waste his whole creation, or possess all as our own, and drive, as we were driven, the puny habitants, or if not drive, seduce them to our party, that their god may prove their foe, and with repenting hand abolish his own works. This would surpass common revenge, and interrupt his joy in our confusion, and our joy upraise in his disturbance, when his darling sons, hurled headlong to partake with us, shall curse their frail original and faded bliss, faded so soon. Advise if this be worth attempting, or to sit in darkness here, hatching vain empires.
Thus Beelzebub pleaded his devilish counsel, first devised by Satan and in part proposed. For whence but from the author of all ill could spring so deep a malice, to confound the race of mankind in one root, and earth with hell, to mingle and involve, done all to spite the great Creator. But their spite still serves his glory to augment. The bold design pleased highly those infernal states, and joy sparkled in all their eyes. With full assent they vote, whereat his speech he thus renews.
Well have ye judged, well ended long debate, synod of gods, and like to what ye are, great things resolved, which from the lowest deep will once more lift us up, in spite of fate, nearer our ancient seat. Perhaps in view of those bright confines, whence with neighboring arms an opportune excursion, we may chance re-enter heaven, or else in some mild zone, dwell not unvisited of heaven's fair light secure, and at the brightening orient beam purge off this gloom. The soft, delicious air, to heal the scar of these corrosive fires, shall breathe her balm. But first, whom shall we send in search of this new world? Whom shall we find sufficient? Who shall tempt with wandering feet the dark, unbottomed, infinite abyss, and through the palpable obscure find out his uncouth way, or spread his airy flight upborne with indefatigable wings over the vast abrupt, ere he arrive the happy isle? What strength, what art can then suffice? Or what evasion bear him safe through the strict sentries and stations thick of angels watching round? Here he had need all circumspection, and we now no less choice in our suffrage, for on whom we send, the weight of all and our last hope relies.
This said, he sat, and expectation held his look suspense, awaiting who appeared to second or oppose, or undertake the perilous attempt. But all sat mute, pondering the danger with deep thoughts, and each in other's countenance read his own dismay astonished. None among the choice and prime of those heaven-warring champions could be found so hardy as to proffer or accept alone the dreadful voyage. Till at last Satan, whom now transcendent glory raised above his fellows with monarchical pride, conscious of highest worth, unmoved thus spake.
O progeny of heaven, imperial thrones, with reason hath deep silence and demur seized us, though undismayed. Long is the way, and hard, that out of hell leads up to light. Our prison strong, this huge convex of fire, outrageous to devour, immures us round ninefold, and gates of burning adamant barred over us prohibit all egress. These passed, if any pass, the void profound of unessential night receives him next, wide gaping, and with utter loss of being, threatens him, plunged in that abortive gulf. If then he scape into whatever world of unknown region, what remains him less than unknown dangers and as hard escape? But I should ill become this throne, O peers, and this imperial sovereignty adorned with splendor, armed with power, if aught proposed and judged of public moment in the shape of difficulty or danger could deter me from attempting. Wherefore do I assume these royalties and not refuse to reign, refusing to accept as great a share of hazard as of honor and due alike? To him who reigns, and so much to him due of hazard more, as he above the rest high honored sits. Go, therefore, mighty powers, terror of heaven though fallen, intend at home, while here shall be our home, what best may ease the present misery and render hell more tolerable. If there be cure or charm to respite or deceive or slack the pain of this ill mansion, intermit no watch against a wakeful foe, while I abroad through all the coasts of dark destruction seek deliverance for us all. This enterprise none shall partake with me.
Thus saying, rose the monarch and prevented all reply, prudent, lest from his resolution raised, others among the chief might offer now, certain to be refused, what erst they feared, and so refused, might in opinion stand his rivals, winning cheap the high repute which he through hazard huge must earn. But they dreaded not more the adventure than his voice forbidding. And at once with him they rose. Their rising all at once was as the sound of thunder heard remote. Towards him they bend with awful reverence prone, and as a god extol him equal to the highest in heaven. Nor fail they to express how much they praised that for the general safety he despised his own. For neither do the spirits damned lose all their virtue, lest bad men should boast their specious deeds on earth, which glory excites or close ambition varnished o'er with zeal. Thus they their doubtful consultations dark ended, rejoicing in their matchless chief. The Stygian council thus dissolved, and forth in order came the grand infernal peers. Midst came their mighty paramount, and seemed alone the antagonist of heaven, nor less than hell's dread emperor, with pomp supreme and godlike imitated state. Him round a globe of fiery seraphim enclosed, with bright emblazonry and horrent arms. Then of their session ended, they bid cry with trumpet's regal sound the great result. Toward the four winds, four speedy cherubim put to their mouths the sounding alchemy by herald's voice explained. The hollow abyss heard far and wide, and all the host of hell with deafening shout returned them loud acclaim. Thence more at ease their minds, and somewhat raised by false, presumptuous hope, the ranged powers disband, and wandering each his several way, pursues as inclination or sad choice leads him perplexed, where he may likeliest find truce to his restless thoughts, and entertain the irksome hours, till this great chief return. Part on the plain or in the air sublime upon the wing, or in swift race contend, as at the Olympian games or Pythian fields. Part curb their fiery steeds, or shun the goal with rapid wheels, or fronted brigands form. Others, with vast Typhean rage more fell, rend up both rocks and hills, and ride the air in whirlwind. Hell scarce holds the wild uproar. Others, more mild, retreated in a silent valley, sing with notes angelical to many a harp their own heroic deeds and hapless fall by doom of battle, and complain that fate, free virtue, should enthrall to force or chance. Their song was partial, but the harmony, what could it less when spirits immortal sing, suspended hell and took with ravishment the thronging audience. In discourse more sweet, for eloquence the soul,
Song charms the sense. Others apart sat on a hill retired, in thoughts more elevate, and reasoned high, a providence, for knowledge, will, and fate, fixed fate, free will, for knowledge absolute, and found no end in wandering mazes lost. Of good and evil much they argued then, of happiness and final misery, passion and apathy, and glory and shame, vain wisdom all, and false philosophy. Yet with a pleasing sorcery could charm pain for a while or anguish, and excite fallacious hope, or arm the obdurate breast with stubborn patience as with triple steel. Another part in squadrons and gross bands, on bold adventure to discover wide that dismal world, if any clime perhaps might yield them easier habitation, bend four ways their flying march along the banks of four infernal rivers that disgorge into the burning lake their baleful streams. Far off from these, a slow and silent stream, Lethe, the river of oblivion, rolls her watery labyrinth, whereof who drinks, forthwith his former state and being forgets both joy and grief, pleasure and pain. Beyond this flood, a frozen continent lies dark and wild, beat with perpetual storms of whirlwind and dire hail, which on firm land thaws not, but gathers heap, and ruin seems of ancient pile. Thus, roving on in confused march forlorn, the adventurous bands with shuddering horror pale, and eyes aghast, viewed first their lamentable lot, and found no rest. Through many a dark and dreary vale they passed, and many a region dolorous, or many a frozen, many a fiery alp, rocks, caves, lakes, fens, bogs, dens, and shades of death, a universe of death, which God by curse created evil, for evil only good, where all life dies, death lives, and nature breeds perverse, all monstrous, all prodigious things, abominable, unutterable, and worse than fables yet have feigned or fear conceived. Gorgons and hydras and chimeras dire,